Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, please. I think my shirt started to shrink. I tried to put a tie on this afternoon. It was too tight. Maybe I'm getting a little bigger. Thankfully, though, you're not here to look at me. If you've come here, same reason I've come here for the last some odd years that I've been coming here, it's to hear the gospel preached. So may God be graceful and merciful to me as I try to preach His gospel. Right here in this verse, the entire gospel is spoken of. There's several verses in the scripture. We can find them in many, many places. But this one sentence covers it all. For by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Lord willing, I'd like to make 4 points for you this evening. First one is what was perfected. The second one I'd like to make is who is He that perfected it? The third one, who are them that it was perfected for? And my last point I'd like to bring out is the results of Him perfecting it. Before we begin with my first point, the first thing we got to understand is what does the word perfection mean? Some of you may have known in your time, and as you've come along in this world, a person that is called a perfectionist. It's possible that maybe you even consider yourself one. That's not for me to judge, and I'm not going to say one way or the other whether it's good or bad. My dad, Calvin Samuel Ellis, the one I call Dad, declared himself to be a perfectionist. And he told me in a conversation we had many years ago, and I don't remember the exact word, but I remember the gist of it. The gist of it was this. A perfectionist is one who is meticulous about every detail that they can come up with and try to get whatever it is they're doing, whatever it is they're trying to accomplish in as perfect a way as possible. And then many years later, after the Lord opened my eyes, I heard Calvin Samuel Ellis preach on tape, and sure enough, he preached the depravity of man, the sovereignty of God, the 5 points of Calvinism. He preached the gospel. It's funny, as I look back at that and think about how Dad used to think of himself as a perfectionist, yet he really knew deep down in his heart he would never accomplish what he was trying to do. He knew the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that none of us are perfected, are perfect. Let me get that out correctly. The problem is none of us are perfect. Scripture says none are good. All have come short of the glory of God. The Lord has given us abilities to do well in our understanding, but our thoughts are not like God's. I'm thankful that God has given men the ability to stretch their limit and learn more and be better and come up with better things. I mean, our medical, just think of all the advances that we've had in medication and the medical field. Look, they take a heart out of somebody and put it in somebody else. So I'm very thankful that the Lord has given us the desire to be better at what we're doing. But I'm even more thankful that He's given some of us the eyes to see the truth, and the truth that none of us are actually perfect. No, there is only one perfect, and He is perfect beyond anything that we can comprehend. God is holy, perfect. Everything He does is exactly the way it should be. He cannot even look upon sin. He is so holy and so perfect. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he plunged the whole human race into condemnation because he ate of the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Therefore, he knew he had done evil. He knew the difference between good and evil. And now we all do. Only most of us don't really understand it. So my first point is what was perfected. Since the beginning of time, man has understood the need for sacrifice, for payment. Man has understood that the wages of sin is death. There is no remission of sin without blood. God has taught man from this from the beginning. Someone taught Cain and Abel that sacrifice was needed, offerings were required. But as we see over in verse 4 and verse 6 of Hebrews 10, look at verse 4 with me if you would. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. These sacrifices and burnt offerings did not accomplish anything. They were performed by imperfect people. The sacrifices and burnt offerings were imperfect themselves because this whole world is accursed. When Adam fell, God cursed the very ground that we walk on, and all that we can see and all that we can't will be burnt up in the end. In Psalms 40, verse 6, you don't need to turn there, but sacrifice, our Lord says through the prophet, sacrificing and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. In Isaiah 1:11, our Lord says through the prophet, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lambs or of the lambs or of the he-goats. Those sacrifices meant nothing to God. They were for our sakes. They were for God's people's sakes. They were to be performed to point us and all who have been given the faith to believe in the one who would be the perfect offering. The only offering that God could accept, a perfect lamb. The one who would make one offering because that offering was perfect. Which brings me to point number two. Who is he that made that one offering? Look at verse 9 and 10 with me of Hebrews 10. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The only man who walked perfectly while on this earth, the only man who walked this earth and pleased God the Father. How could this man do these things? You don't need to turn there again, but in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The offering of God Himself and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was as perfect as it gets. Remember, He's perfect and holy. He could give nothing less. God the Son, the Creator of all things, as we see in John 1:3, how could His offering be anything but perfect? In Genesis 22:7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham knew who the perfect offering would be. He knew it was not going to be a man himself. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. This man who is a spotless lamb of God, this man who was slain, who was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, this man who knew no sin but was made to be sin for a purpose, God willingly humbled Himself and came to this earth to be that perfect sacrifice. And because He is God, it was perfect. That means that the offering is complete. There's nothing left to do. But it also means there's no chance of failure. Remember I told you, the gospel is all in this one verse right here. He hath perfected forever. There's nothing left for any of us to do. Christ has accomplished it all for us. The world does not see Christ as a perfect person, though, does it, do they? If the world sees Christ as one who loves everybody, yet some go to hell, then he has failed, and he is not God. This verse that we read here, perfected forever, means nothing. If Christ died for you, you will be saved. If you're one of God's sheep, your salvation is done. And that brings me to point number three. Who are the them? There is no question that Scripture declares God has a people. In Exodus 6:7, the Lord says, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." The Egyptians are a picture of this world. This world is not my home. I don't want to be a part of the Egyptians. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me into yours. Deuteronomy 4:20, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as you are this day." These people are known as God's elect, chosen by God. Their names were written in the book of life, as we see in Philippians 4:3. They were chosen in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, as we see in Ephesians 1:4. They were called out of darkness, the darkness that is this world. They were healed of all of their illnesses and blindnesses and deafness. He, the Holy Spirit, cuts away the old stony heart and replaces it with a new heart, the new birth. Giving us not just the desire, but the ability. When we're thankful to our Lord, are we not thankful that He gave us the desire to come here tonight? I know what you're here for. You're here the same reason I am, to hear that gospel preached, the good news that there's a Savior for sinners such as I. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but Christ gives life. The world declares God loves everyone, but Scriptures declare Christ loved the people, them that are sanctified. Right there in that very verse, He perfected forever them that are sanctified. According to Thayer, the Thayer Dictionary, the word sanctified means to separate from profane things and to dedicate unto God. We were taken out of this world of darkness and given to God, given to Christ. Christ says in John 17, "I pray for those that thou hast given me." He says also in another part of Scripture, "All that thou hast given me shall come to me." This brings me to my last point, point number four. What are the results of being perfected? And I'd like to spend most of my time this evening concentrating on that. This is what really joys my heart, what God has done for me. Those who were chosen in Christ before the world was are purified. That's a hard concept to get our minds around, isn't it? I see my own heart. Thank God He doesn't see my heart. He sees Christ. Our brother Mike Lovelace has been going through a lot in the last year with his body, cancer, problems, the teeth and so on. Mike, God sees you purified, spotless, not because of anything you have done, but for Christ's sake. Those who were chosen in Christ before the world was justified. He went to the cross and hung on the cross and shed His blood in a perfect sacrifice and justified me. just as if I had done it. God looks down and sees his son, Jesus Christ, and sees me holy because of him. Sees me purified. Sees me justified. Those who were chosen in Christ before the world are reconciled. We were born in sin, trespasses. We came from our mother's womb speaking lies. I've heard many times from this pulpit how a pastor will stand up here and say, your parents didn't have to teach you to lie. I'm not proud of this, but as Paul says that he was the chief of sinners, there was a time when I was the chief of liars. I would lie about everything. And I would lie about anything. My mom and dad didn't teach me that. It came natural. I sinned against God all my life. Yet Christ in his crucified offering reconciled me to God. Not for anything that we have done or that I have done, but for Christ's sake. We are vessels of mercy, as I read in the devotional this morning. The potter took a vessel that was corrupted and remade it in the image of his son, holy, without blame. Your offering to God is perfect. But not in anything you have done, in what Christ has done. So let me finish with this. What is he doing now? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. What is he, the God-man, who came to this earth, laid down his life, so that his people, them that are sanctified, would be perfected forever? What is he doing now? The King of Kings is sitting on his throne, Lord of Lords, doing whatever he wants, calling those that are still lost. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 4 if you would please. According as he hath chosen us in him, before in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We were chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame, perfected forever. Now, if you would turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect. Chosen. Called. Sanctified. Elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, perfect, perfected forever by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible that his people... No, I used the wrong word there. I used the word possible. That's not correct. Perfected forever is not possible. but done. It's done deal. He has completed. He has made it so that all of his people, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me and shall be an inheritance to him. The only way we can be that way, folks, is if we were perfected. And I don't know about you, but I am a long, long, long ways from being perfected. I look forward to the day when I will be standing in his presence, though. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's the world around us, is it not? You know, one of the things Kathy and I pray about every morning is, Lord, help me to do thy will and not my own. Help me to turn away from the temptations of this world, because they're all around us all the time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is calling his lost ones. When that last lost child of his is called out of darkness unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day, folks, that we have to look forward to. But that day is here today. This is our peace. Mom and I were sitting there watching the world news. I told her, I said, I don't want to watch this. This is depressing. But I sat there and watched it with her anyway. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on around us right now. A lot of people killing each other for no reason at all. But it's all in his control. He's the potter. We are the clay. Whatever's happening out there in the world around us is for our good and for his glory. Amen. Amen.